Hi, and welcome to South Florida Opinion Live with the Sun Sentinel Editorial Board. This is our weekly Facebook Live show on issues in the news, and you can also catch our podcast at sunsentinel.com podcasts or wherever you like to download your podcasts. And during the course of our discussion today, if you have questions, type them in the Facebook comments and we'll get to them as we go. Gosh, there's so much happening this week. We got a new White House spokesman, the Mooch.
The Mooch.
The Mooch. Jared Kushner is telling the Senate committee that he didn't have improper contacts. It reminds me of improper relations with that woman. And there was a 69-year-old manatee named Snooty that died over the weekend. 69 years old.
Oh,
jeez. It was that little hat. When they put that hat on him, he died. Killed him. That's right. But we're not talking about any of that today. We're talking, we want to talk about what happens in South Florida, though we recognize what happens in the nation and the world has impact here. So today we want to talk about healthcare and wise words from Jeb Bush, the death penalty, and bicycles. Another word that too often comes in a sentence that includes the word death. Yeah. I'm Rosemary O'Hara, the editorial page editor, and I'm joined today by my esteemed colleagues, Gary Stein, Alana Sims, and Andrew Abramson. And these are our, sophisticated tools for keeping us on track. Yeah. And so let's rock and roll. First up, we're talking about healthcare. Healthcare, gosh, it is the story of the year. There is no bigger issue that faces this nation than what are we going to do about our national healthcare system.
Who would have known healthcare so complicated?
I know.
Donald Trump's right.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I just got back from vacation in Ireland.
That's right.
And I met family I didn't know I had until just a couple weeks ago. And we talked about healthcare. It was interesting to hear how people in Ireland see our nation these days. But their healthcare system is one they are most proud of. They have a national healthcare system. They think it provides excellent care, timely care. They believe that healthcare is a human right, is a basic human right.
I was just in Canada, same thing, and they're almost in a way kind of bragging to Americans right now, like, hey, yeah. we have healthcare and it's pretty great and it's national and everyone gets it.
Yeah, so you want to talk about exceptionalism? Yeah. Ireland. Canada thinks they're exceptional because they give health care to everybody. And American exceptionalism, and we don't give health care to everybody.
Health care has become such a partisan issue. It's just, rather than being a right or something that people should have, it's just so partisan. You're on one side or the other. And they're not, you're not talking about the people who are victims or people who need this.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that right? So this week we might see a vote on health care in the Senate.
Maybe.
Right. Mitch McConnell saying that maybe he's going to call the question and make people vote and, mm-hmm. Line up. And yet, it doesn't look like it's going to pass. But that wouldn't be because of our own Senator, Marco Rubio, who is not counted among those who says he will vote against it. He says that he expects that something is going to get done and he wants something done in a timely fashion. We've not heard him say anything about the secretive nature in which this bill was done, the fact that no women were part of drafting it. And he's not on the list of those who say this he couldn't accept.
We don't know how he'll vote, but a lot of times he doesn't vote anyway. So
that's right. Yeah, maybe this will be one of the votes he misses.
They talk about the women. The three women were the ones who killed it last week, which I thought was incredible. The three women who weren't part of the original discussion, they were the ones who said we won't go for it.
And the thing is, everybody believes that there's issues we got to solve with Obamacare. But the way to solve it is to get people around a table, and that includes Democrats.
I think it was terrible when the president said that we just let Obamacare die. You're talking about people's lives.
Yeah.
And he's just going to, they're not going to support it, they're not going to do anything to help it, and just let it die. Well, how many people are going to die because of this?
I think Republicans really went in thinking, we're going to repeal Obamacare, that's what our voters want us to do. But then they realize you can't just do it when your 20 million people are going to lose coverage. It's a lot harder to do. Those are real people. They're going to lose real coverage. So I think Republicans are finding it extremely difficult to actually do this.
And I think we completely miss the fact that having an able-bodied population, a healthy population, is good for the country. You know, the opposite, letting 22 million people fall away, you know, how much is that going to cost us in the long run? So contribute to the fact, contribute to making people healthy in the country as opposed to letting them, you know, the worst happen.
Well, that's a really good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and if we agree that education is a basic right, why shouldn't healthcare be a right too? It is unfortunate that this is all about who's up and who, you know, who wins.
It's all about scoring
who
points.
Scores. Right.
Yeah, and in the end, if you know, they talked about Obamacare. Repeal, but they always said and replace. Right. During the campaign, it was on not just repeal, it was repeal and replace. Now they're talking about just repealing it.
Because they don't have anything to replace. They're like, well, then we'll give ourselves 2 years to replace it. If they can't come up with anything now to replace it, what makes you think they're going to be able to repeal it and suddenly come up with something better?
Yeah.
No, people are going to lose insurance. And people are going to benefit besides just the wealthy. People like me, people that are younger and are healthy, we're going to benefit. But it's wrong because the people... Older people, poorer people are going to hurt because of this.
And people with pre-existing conditions.
Right, pre-existing
you
conditions.
You know, once you reach a certain age, how many of us don't have a pre-existing condition?
Why do you look at me when you say that?
Yeah, so let's see if we see a vote this week. And, you know, if we don't, you know, wouldn't it be great to see Washington actually come together and say, okay, you didn't win, maybe where in the middle can we meet and agree that let's fix this and this.
It's wishful thinking. It's too polarizing right now.
Yeah.
We're farther apart than we've been in a century or more.
And we don't have the leaders. Right. We don't have the leaders in the White House to make something good happen for all of us. We don't have the leader in the Senate.
Like John McCain, you know, bless his heart, what he's going through. You know, we've had our issues with things that he said, but he has been one of the statesmen who've come out and say, you know, when they were railing against Obama because he was an Arab, he's like, you know, no, this is a good guy. We may have political differences, but, you know, stay off of that kind of fight. How many statesmen do you see coming out and saying things like
one
that?
One more word on McCain, who I think is an American hero and is a treasure. Not, you know, he's missed not only because of his health situation, which is the important thing, but he was one of the Republicans who would stand up to Trump. You know, and there are so few of those.
Yes.
That he is needed. His voice is needed.
Yeah.
Who knows how much longer we'll have his voice.
I heard somebody make the comment that it took the Republicans to make America love Obamacare.
Ironic.
Yeah. Okay,
all
well,
right.
Moving right along. Oh, here
Gary's
we go.
Up. Gary's up.
Oh, Gary.
Gary,
up. Okay.
It's
what
you.
Are you talking about?
Over I'm talking about our former governor. Over the weekend, we had some comments from Jeb Bush. And, you know, I think it's worth listening to Jeb. He's, you know, he may be low energy, as our president likes to say, and he got kind of buried by Trump. But he has a lot of interesting things to say, and he insists he's not going to be running for president again, and I kind of believe him. I don't know what kind of support there would be, but
not much.
He criticized Republicans for not standing up to Trump, basically, and not criticizing his actions with the Russians. He said if it was Obama, you'd be all over it, but because it's Trump, you're not saying a word. He also cautioned against celebrity-type candidates, you know, saying that they don't have, you know, you can't just learn policy in a minute, and that we're going too much toward, if we go too much towards celebrity candidates, it's going to be a danger. You know, whether you like Jeb or not, it's good to have him. He was a voice of sanity for quite a while during the campaign. Too bad he got eliminated so quickly. And he's talking about how presidents need to inspire. Well, that was one of his problems. He didn't inspire people. But I still think his voice is needed. It's a little voice of moderation, to go against what's going on.
Yeah.
So I think it's good to hear from Jeb.
He talked about, you know, it's like what we're about now or what matters is personality. It's this whole cult of personality.
Right.
It's not what somebody stands for. You know, it's somebody who has a big name presence on TV.
Right.
You know, I think I told you guys, I think the Democrats ought to draft George Clooney. Don't you think? I mean, you heard it here first. George Clooney for Democrat for president.
Well, The Rock is talking about running.
It's true.
The Rock.
The Rock. You know how popular he is?
Yeah, no, you're right.
And Kid Rock wants to run for Senate.
Yeah. Oh, no. Kid Rock.
And Mark Cuban. No, I think these last couple election cycles have proven people want somebody that inspires. Obama inspired. Trump, while not everyone might agree with him, he inspired a certain base of people. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to see more and more of that. And I think that's why you may see a rise in celebrity candidates or businessmen like Mark Cuban, although he thinks Trump might have hurt the future of businessmen running for president. But I just think we're done with the days of kind of bland candidates.
Yeah.
That's just not
funny.
Social media now.
And who would have thought that Bernie Sanders would inspire, this old guy who inspired.
I think what's depressing here, Palm Beach Post had a story about Jeb, and there must have been 50 comments from readers online, and every one of them told Jeb to shut up. Huh. Every one of them. Look at these comments are unbelievable.
I do have a question about that. Does he have any pull in Florida anymore? Florida politics?
You know, it's been so long since he was governor that so many millions of people have moved here who had no experience with him as governor. And tomorrow there's a special election in Miami for a Senate race, state Senate race, where he's endorsed one of the candidates. And whether that matters, we'll find out tomorrow.
Who knows how much his endorsement carries.
Right.
That's yeah. Yeah.
I'll say one thing. I did take offense one thing Jeb said. He said about Trump, he's not really affiliated with the Republican Party. He's Trump. I disagree with that.
Yeah.
He is the Republican Party now. The Republican voters got behind him. That's the guy they nominated. Most of the Republicans have lined up behind Trump. Trump's the Republican Party, so I disagree with Jeb. You can't separate the two right now.
I agree.
Until they start standing up to him.
Right.
When you see Republicans really stand up to Trump, then you can separate the two. But for now, he's the party.
Right. Oh, yes.
Ilana's up.
Ilana, go.
Go, go, go. Well, there are things that, as legislators, you should want to get right. Healthcare, education, and capital punishment should be another one of those things that we get right. And
worst thing you can get wrong.
The state has been fouling up capital punishment. Florida has the dubious distinction of leading the nation in the number of inmates released from death row. 27. Now think about that. 27 people who were slated to be executed have been exonerated.
So imagine how many were executed that were innocent.
It's
you know
terrible.
There's plenty
it's terrible.
Of them.
So the U.S. Supreme Court upended our justice system. It was said that Florida unconstitutionally allowed judges, not juries, to oppose the death penalty. So juries recommended a sentence, but the judge decided, and juries were now the fact finder. So the situation is, how do you allow us to get so far where people can be on death row but be proven that they were innocent? Where have we gone wrong in that respect?
We could have sent people to death row on a 7-5 vote. I mean, it's incredible. Mm-hmm. The Supreme Court then said it has to be unanimous,
right?
Which is fine and dandy. We ought to get rid of the death penalty.
Of course we should. I mean, first of all, even if you believe in eye for an eye justice, what about the cost of it? It costs 4 times as much to have somebody on death row because of all the appeals. It takes 20 years to execute them than life in prison. It's more costly. It hasn't proven to be a deterrent for crime. Mm-hmm. And there's a chance innocent people are executed.
Right.
And I guarantee you, innocent people have been executed in Florida. We need to
and
do away with it.
It's not a deterrent. Yeah.
No,
I mean,
it's not.
You know, if you're holding up somebody,
right.
Do you think, oh, geez, if I do this, I might get the death penalty rather than life in prison? I don't think it
life
enters
in prison
into
is
the
worse mind. To some of these
somebody's
people.
Somebody's holding a gun out there, and I think.
Yeah.
But the whole idea of the vote is just, you know, it has to be unanimous to find the guy guilty. Mm-hmm. But they could have voted 7-5 that he gets the death penalty.
And Florida was the only state in the nation that didn't require a unanimous jury verdict to put someone to death.
It's embarrassing. And yeah, we could. I don't see us getting rid of the death penalty anytime soon, but we should.
Yeah.
I think it'll take a national effort, and I think I agree.
Well,
not
with the
Republicans
dominating.
Right.
Yeah, well, somehow it's seen as tough on crime. And if you've ever been victimized, you know, I have, and I've thought, put the guy to death. I'm kidding there, but, you know, it's being the victim of a crime or someone you love having something horrible happen. You know, I grant that families suffer, but families suffer for decades because of this death penalty system that puts them through appeals and appeals and, You know, give him finality. Lock the guy up and throw away the key. And
our right. justice system shouldn't be based on what's going to make one family feel better. Right. And granted, if it was your family, yeah, you'd want the. But it's not based on it. It's what's good for the public good.
Right.
And, you know, it's too often they're thinking, well, you know, that family suffered so much, let this guy go. Like, the Goldmans probably would like to see O.J. strung up.
Yes.
And I can understand that feeling.
Yeah. Although he was not guilty.
He was not guilty. You know what I mean.
That was one of those big mistakes.
I'm just glad he's out so we can finally find the real killer.
Oh, yeah.
Gary, I want him to calm down.
Yeah. Okay, one more topic. Yeah. And if you have any questions, put them in the Facebook messages and we'll get to them.
All right, we're going to talk about bicycles. And you're starting to see a national movement in Oregon. They are now implementing a 15% surcharge, a tax, on bicycles that cost $200 or more. It's part of a bipartisan $5 billion package to modernize transportation. Now you're seeing Colorado saying, ooh, we want to do this too. And it's not a Democrat versus Republican thing. You got a Republican state senator in Colorado saying this is a good idea too, this tax. And it's a tough one. I could see both sides of this one. You know, some say the tax shows that bicycles are being taken more seriously. More people are riding bikes because of transportation issues. They're taking up parts of the roads too, so they should pay a tax. Others say it's just lawmakers who don't like bicycles and think they should have to pay their fair share. And, you know, we have something going on in Florida here right now. They're starting to put more of those sharrows, those lanes where bicycles and cars, which personally, they're talking about putting one on Las Olas. I would never, ever ride in one of those. South Florida drivers are already the worst. I don't want to put my bicycle. I don't trust them in a car, let alone on my bike.
Bicycles won't win that battle.
Yeah. But, you know, what do you think of the larger issue? Should there be a tax on bicycles, for, you know, $200 bicycles or more?
My reaction is that, you know, if it helps build the infrastructure needed to make biking safe, yes, let's do it.
It depends on where the money goes.
Right.
You know, if the money goes into that, but you think about, you know, when you pay your license, your car license, license plate, you know, that money helps pay for roads. Why shouldn't the registration of a bicycle include a fee that goes to pay for bike lanes? They're using the infrastructure too.
Bicyclists want to have equality with drivers, they talk about all the time. So that goes
that's a good point.
I just wonder if it'll have a reverse effect and people, you know, you're starting to see people getting to bikes again and you'll see, you know, I don't want to pay the $15 tax, I'm not going to buy a bike. I do wonder if it could have that negative.
I don't know that it would stop you. If you're saving money on gas, if you're just, you know, going on a jaunt down the street, you know, what's $15 when it's convenient for you?
Right.
You know.
And if it makes it safer.
Right.
If. That's key. Will it actually make it safer?
Yeah.
If it does, then sure.
Yeah. I'm just happy to see somebody taking the lead and trying to address this problem. Mm-hmm. Because as Brittany Wallman reported, the sharrows on our streets is not the answer. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Okay. Well, so now we're just going to go to parting thoughts.
Yeah.
Who'd like to start?
I can start. And again, it's not totally local, but I saw that Jared Kushner was talking to Congress today, talking to a committee. I wonder what purpose it serves to have these guys talking to them not under oath. You know, why?
He's not under oath.
No, he's not under oath. And a couple of the others, Manafort, if they get him, is not going to be under oath. And Don Jr. is not going to be under oath.
Closed session meeting.
My goodness.
These are closed meetings and not under oath. What's the purpose?
Yeah.
So Kushner said something, you know, they wasn't involved with the Russians and everything. You know, how can you believe anything they say?
And didn't he have to amend his statements or his documents three times or something?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we want him to get it right. And if you're under oath, maybe there's just a little bit more careful attention to detail.
They concocted a deal to make these guys, you know, talk, but they're talking not under oath. To me, it means nothing.
Yeah, big mistake. Yeah, Alana, what about you?
I have plastics. This is my prop today. More than 9 billion tons of this stuff has been made since 1950. And we've got mountains of it on land, and we've got tons of it swirling in the sea. And if current trends continue, 13 billion tons of plastic will be discarded in the environment by 2050. That's a lot of plastic. So my thought is we need to put our thinking caps on, not plastic ones, and figure out what we're going to do with all of this waste that we're producing, because we need this planet. Don't we?
Yes. Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Reminds me of Dustin Hoffman in The Graduate. Plastics.
Plastics.
Yeah. And Coral Gables passed that tax on plastic bags to try to reduce the, you know, their use. But of course, the Florida legislature doesn't want any other city banning plastic bags or taxing plastic bags.
What
is
a good
bags.
Idea? Can we shut down today?
We're really worked up today. What about you, Andrew?
I got to say, NFL training camp returns this week, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Dolphins. For the first time in 8 years, they're actually coming off a playoff season. But I'll tell you, Vegas is down on them. USA Today, everyone's predicting them to go back to how they were, 7-9. I believe in their coaches. I don't know how much they upgraded this offseason, but it's fun. At least you got a team that actually did well last year. We're not used to that in football around here. One thing I'll say, the Patriots, USA Today predicted them today to go 16-0. Now, look, I know they're a really good team, defending champions, but come on. How can you predict a team to not even have a
loss?
Because
it gets response. It's
hey, we're talking about it. We're talking about USA Today.
It's
I guess
hot
it worked. But I'm ready for football.
Yeah.
I'm not a big baseball guy like Gary. This is the slow time of sports.
Yeah.
So football, I'm ready for
fully
it.
Fully inflated football. Okay, so my parting thought is back on transportation. So I was in Dublin. They have, and you know, before we left, I wrote had a column about the wave and the big debate about the wave in Fort Lauderdale. And frankly, you know, I think it's in the wrong place. I think it's old technology. I think it's all about development. It's not about relieving congestion. If you were going to do mass transit, the wave was not the place to start. But do you turn back this, you know, $18 million in federal money that we'll never get again? I'm still conflicted by it all. But I saw this streetcar in Dublin, and it has the electric wires too, and it was packed. But it went places that you needed to go. I mean, it went, you know, it took you from here to there and not from here to nowhere like the wave will. So when I got back, I just flipped on Sunday morning television yesterday and saw Miami-Dade Mayor Carlos Jimenez on This Week in South Florida. And he was talking about these electric trains that don't run on rail, that don't have the overline, but it's a new mode of transportation. And hey, that looked pretty good. That looked, you know, futuristic, like cool to use, and a lot less expensive. So Miami-Dade is looking at using an innovative new kind of transportation. In Jacksonville, they have this Skyway thing that is like a rail system. They want to tear it down because nobody's riding it. They want to go to automated vehicles. And yet in Fort Lauderdale, we're still going to go with the overhead electric lines on a rail wave system. That my as I thought about this, I thought, who in Fort Lauderdale is going to gonna raise the cry to say, you know, maybe we don't need rail. Maybe like Miami-Dade is talking about, we should do those electric trains.
It seems like it's going a lot. Most people don't want it, but they don't know how to stop this. And apparently we're going to get the wave, even though so many people don't want it and realize it's kind of ridiculous. It's gone too far to
and
stop it.
And who do you hold accountable for it? There's nobody, no one person you can point at and say, you're responsible. If this doesn't get the ridership, we're holding you. There's no one person.
I wish they would at least reconsider the route. If they're going to do it, you know, like you said, go to Las Olas or go to some places people actually want to go to in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, 17th Street Causeway.
Right. And then I say, okay, maybe people will use it. But it's more along the condo. It's for people, they want people to live downtown and you can hop out of your condo and get places.
It's going to average
it should benefit
speed
everybody.
8 miles per hour. This is not the system that's going to go, that's going to be the solution to to congestion in Fort Lauderdale. And so on that happy note, let us wish you all a happy week, and we'll see you again here next Monday on Live with South Florida Opinion Live with the Sun Sentinel Editorial Board, and wishing you all a happy week.